Hey guys, it's your lady gang, Jack Vanek, Kelty Knight, and Becca Tobin. Thank you so much for subscribing on iTunes, and thanks for supporting the great sponsors who make it possible for us to have this much fun with you every single week for free.
Well, what is this?
Welcome to the lady gang.
That's amazing. Say that again.
The lady gang.
Things are about to change around here.
Each week, we catch up with Hollywood's hottest girl posse, Kelty Knight, Becca Tobin, and Jack Vanek.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the lady gang. I'm Becca Tobin. Across from me is Kelty Knight. To my right is Jack Vanek. Isn't it funny that I talk about our formation?
Just in case anybody wants
on,
to know.
Ladies. Also, I love that you're wearing a Beyonce bodysuit right
okay,
now. Like
just,
me and Jack.
I'm in
sweatshirts. And you're like wearing a low cut, like your boob is out.
Wait, this is part of my Good Week Bad Week. So maybe we should just go into.
Just jump into it.
What it's time for.
Good Week.
Yes, it is.
Bad Week.
Oh, no.
All right, since you pointed out my Beyonce bodysuit, Kelty, here's my Good Week.
Honestly, I didn't think your boobs were that big until I saw this bodysuit.
Do they even?
I mean, they don't look that big.
Okay, I was going to say, this is like, I'm very flat-chested. So I'm in a bodysuit. I usually talk about my trials and tribulations as a failing actress. You know, it's my thing, my favorite thing to do. And I just came from an audition, like raced over here. And I have to say, sometimes, like one out of every 500 auditions, you're like in a room and somebody is super complimentary to you. And that just happened.
Like who? Like
tell
somebody
us.
Else that's auditioning?
Like a casting director.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I won't tell any details because when I don't get the job, it's going to be really sad. And the Facebook group is just going to be in upheaval.
Yeah, exactly.
But I just, yeah, it was just really nice to like do your job and have like somebody acknowledge that it was okay.
So what do they say? Like, how do you know the difference between like good job and like, wow, that was a good job?
Yeah,
like,
well, and also people not say compliments if they don't mean them? Like if you get a compliment,
there's
you're
not a fake compliment. Yeah.
No, I mean, they don't have time for that. They see so many girls. They can't like give us all back rubs. That's why we're all so suicidal and hate ourselves.
Yeah.
So like when they actually say something, it's like every time I've ever gotten a compliment, it's been like a, oh, that was really great. It's like a shock.
Right. Yeah.
So either that means they've seen garbage all day and I'm like decent, or it was they expected me to really suck. Either way,
if they're impressed, they're impressed. Who cares why?
Yeah. So that was my good week.
So what was the compliment?
It was like, oh my God, that was really great. Like you hit every beat. Like you gave me like everything I wanted.
It was
like,
about your audition.
What did you think it was?
I thought
like,
it was about
your
appearance.
Great?
Yeah. Well, because you're talking about your bodysuit.
Oh. No, I wouldn't normally be at the podcast in a bodysuit if I hadn't come straight from an audition.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you so much.
You do look like exceptionally hot. I hope it was a hot girl role.
Oh my God, it was a hot girl role.
Oh, yes.
Oh my God, thanks. Okay, here's my bad week. So, I have so many problems with my face. You know, remember?
Hold on. I'm going to get out the tiniest world's tiniest violin and play you a sad song about your horrid face.
I'm like, where is this going to even go?
Okay. I have.
You're so ugly.
Look away, Jack. Don't
do
even
not
look at her.
Do you remember my staph infection?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's gone.
I have staph infections. I get all these crazy styes in my eye, like cold sores. I'm a disaster. And I recently broke out in a crazy hive situation all over my face. And now I don't know why, so now I have to like eliminate all foods from my diet, which I was already kind of doing, so now I'm just like limited to like herbs and spices.
When I used to be vegan, gluten-free, like all that shit, I said I ate air and sadness, so that's your new diet.
What I'm doing. But when is it going to be time that I wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and not have something wrong with my face?
Probably never, because we're getting older and shit just keeps happening.
But it's like freak things that happen to me. Who gets hives? Like these crazy bumps all over my face. I hope we have some dermatologists in the Facebook group because mine's sick of hearing from me.
I mean, I get hives sometimes. I think every time I wake up and I look in the mirror, I'm like, oh, this is my face. Like it's always puffy. It's always
you have such a good face.
We don't see our own faces for what they are.
I know. I really wish I knew what my face looked like.
I will say that our makeup artist that we use, Christina, she was doing my makeup the other day and she was like, Kelty has like poreless skin. It's crazy how good Kelty's
really
skin is.
Unicorn blood.
All right. Who's next?
I'll go.
Jack's next.
My good week like wasn't that great. So my
great week.
It's
a new segment.
The good
kind
week
of great
is
week.
Sad. It's not sad, but
sad
my
good week.
Good week is I found a new app on my phone and I'm obsessed with it. And it's called HQ. Have you guys heard of it?
No.
It's a trivia app and it's they do live trivia every day from at noon and at 6. And, like, it'll send you a notification, and then you go on the app, and then they have this, like, person live in New York City.
This is sad.
And they have 10 trivia questions, but you can win real money. They have, like, thousands of dollars for prizes.
That's called betting online, Jack.
I know, it's fun.
But how many people are playing?
Like, 80,000. And if you
win, that's less than our listeners. Booyah.
It is.
Have fun with your 80,000 people and your trivia.
Whatever.
We'll be there at the lady gang.
If you win, you have to split the money. Huh. So if they have like a $2,000 prize and then 4,000 people win, you get 50 cents.
Honestly, like modern...
we will be friends with you outside the podcast.
I know. This
like,
is
just
like
ask us. You don't have to be alone doing trivia.
Okay, download it and play it once and then let me know if you get sucked in.
You're the person who runs home to watch Jeopardy. Like,
I really am not, though.
This is what it is. It's the new version of that.
Do you sit in the corner at Bungalow by yourself and do trivia?
I will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The thing is, I'm not even that good at trivia. I just like it because it's a game.
You love a game.
I love a game.
Love a game. But you don't like the games we play on the Lady Gang, so...
Yes, I do. I just think that you could do them better.
Oh. Okay. Maybe. Ooh.
So saucy.
Spicy. Pass the salt.
Pass the...
Good news.
Thank you.
Okay.
So what was that your...
That was my good week. I couldn't think of another one.
Okay. HQ, hey. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Okay. It's funny. Like
headquarters?
I don't know.
Okay.
My bad week. There is nothing creepier to me than a grown adult that's obsessed with Disneyland that doesn't have kids. Are you agreeing or disagreeing?
I'm sad because I feel the same way. I don't want to feel that way.
No, but you went with kids.
Yeah, no, I couldn't do it without kids.
No, it's weird.
I cried watching the fireworks at Disney World like 2 weeks ago, in my balcony by myself. Like, it was so magical. And the castle was there and it was all lit up.
Yeah, but you were there for work, too. Like, you're not going to Disneyland.
Were your emotions because you were there for work and it was so special?
And you were, like, really exhausted and overwhelmed?
No, I just was like, it's really so happy here.
It is really happy. It's
but
just
for children.
Creepy happy.
Yeah. So, anyways.
Okay. I like it, though.
Especially men. Like, a grown man that's obsessed with Disneyland, that goes to Disneyland by himself. Like, I went with my ex's kids, and it was great because there was a 7- and a 9-year-old, and magical for them, whatever. Mm-hmm. So anyways, there was this guy that I was hooking up with when I was like 20, and he was like a dumb promoter, like idiot Hollywood guy. And we like finished hooking up and he like hated me. Not like finished hooking up physically. We were like done with that happening.
It ran its course.
He hated me. And then he would just comment on my pictures that I was fat. So I blocked him. So he's basically like non-existent to me. Right.
But why did he do such hateful things? What'd you do to him?
Because he was a moron. He was just like an idiot.
Like, hey, you're fat, Jack?
Yeah, he'd be like, I see that pooch happening on your stomach or bullshit.
Who
like
is
that.
This person?
I'll show you him later. But anyways, so come to find out.
He loves Disneyland.
Last week, not only does he love Disneyland, I'm not going to say his exact Instagram name, but his Instagram name is something like
Mickey?
Disneyland Enthusiast. And every single picture is him at Disneyland by himself. Like, every picture. There's a picture of him and Pluto hanging out with the boys. And then there's a picture of him and Minnie with the caption, "Don't tell Mickey." Like...
Oh, wait, it takes it to a new level.
He's never with another human being. He's not with kids.
Maybe who's you should ask him if you want to hang out again and do trivia.
Wait.
For Halloween, he dressed up as Prince Charming and went to Disneyland.
I'm freaked
by
out.
By himself.
He has kids like skinned in his basement.
I know. I'm like, he's going to Disneyland to find his
kids.
Next victim.
But I just like don't... Like, John Stamos is
cute.
A Disney enthusiast.
Yeah,
if
he's
you will.
A Disney enthusiast.
Yeah, but like,
he even spent, I heard, like.
He has one of the letters from the original.
That's the thing,
the
Disneyland
son.
Do you know him? Oh
and
my God.
Elena knows this guy we're talking about. Oh my God.
How did you.
I'm friends with him on Facebook.
Oh my God. Salute. His Facebook profile is him dressed as Prince Charming.
Is it John Stamos?
No, it's not. I'll show you him later. Anyways, it's just it. And now, because I don't follow him, one of my good friends every day texts me a picture of his latest Instagram picture of him at Disneyland again every day.
That's weird.
It's made
when
my
you wish
week
upon
hell.
A star.
I'm okay, looking at him.
We're looking at it.
My God.
But he's hot.
He's hot.
I understand why you're making
I
out
I don't
with
think yeah. that. Costume, Prince Charming, and he's standing in front of the castle.
Yeah, no, it's a whole thing.
I'm so alarmed.
I'm disgusted.
Petrified, really.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, next.
Kelty.
Good week.
You're wearing a Harry Styles t-shirt again. I've seen this three times.
So my only t-shirt at work.
Okay, got it.
I wear it.
You need another t-shirt.
Okay. The only t-shirt I bring to work.
You need a Jack Vanek t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
I have a lot of Jack Vanek t-shirts in my closet. I just haven't brought them into my rotation. And they do my laundry here, so it just keeps getting washed every week. And I keep wearing it every week on the one week I don't wear workout clothes or a bodycon dress, which is
every
podcast day.
Okay.
Good week. Chris Knight got peer pressured into taking pictures with me on the red carpet.
Oh, my God. Mm.
Officially for the first time ever.
I can't believe that.
We went to an
event.
Peer
pressured by you?
No. I would never ask him to do such
your
a
publicist.
Thing. I understand. Yes. She said, no, you need to. It's good for her image. And then he came out. And he wasn't even prepped. If I knew he was going to do them, I would have put bronzer on him, a little powder.
No. He's so cute.
Anyway, he came out and he did it just for me.
Aww.
And it's very cute. And I was really secretly happy inside because the photographer was like, get your husband, and I was like, oh, you're so, I'm so famous, you want pictures of me as a couple? And then I was like, oh no, he doesn't do pictures. And then all of a sudden he was like, I'll come out. I'm like,
oh my gosh,
it was really nice.
That's okay. Cute.
Bad week. I'm at Home Depot.
Oh geez.
okay and Mr. Knight and I were picking up some things for Fixer Upper LA, my Instagram story.
Which I love.
I love.
And we've got plants. We've got shears. We got all this stuff. I walk by the shovel aisle. We're going to plant three plants, three new trees, if you will. And I was like, well, we should get the shovel. It's $14.99, you guys. $14.99. And he's like, Kelty, we don't have to have everything. And I was like, well, what am I going to dig the hole with? And he goes, we have a shovel, but you know, we have like a mini, like hand potted plant shovel. So I did the thing, the wife thing. I said, I'm going to accept your veto. I'm not happy about it, but I'm going to accept it. So we go home, and about 4 minutes into me digging a giant hole with a tiny little 6-inch shovel, I was like, wish I would have that shovel. I had to borrow one from the neighbors.
Oh.
And I looked at him, and I was right. And mostly I had to dig with that tiny shovel three plants worth, and it was horrible.
This is really
the
worst
problem. I like his style to veto like a purchase like that.
Well, yeah, because look, you borrowed a shovel
and you
didn't really need it.
Yeah,
you're not going to need it again.
Do not take. Chris Knight bought a $39.99 branch clipper where you throw it over the branches and then you scissor cut it and all the big tall like extender.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
That makes sense. Do you know why?
Because he's going
to
use it.
Because you don't have to hire someone to do that for you. Because hiring someone to trim your trees could be a couple hundred dollars.
I'm out. Goodbye. Have fun with our guest today.
I understand you, Chris Knight.
I was so supportive of your bodysuit. I was so supportive of your bodysuit and your trivia.
No, it's
no,
good.
No, you weren't.
It's good.
You're right. I wasn't.
Yeah, okay. Bitch.
Well, anyway.
Does he still listen every week?
Yes, he does. Hi, Chris.
Oh, hi, Chris. Congrats on your debut on the red carpet.
Yeah. All right. You want to know what's coming up? There's a woman who successfully catfished men. And we're going to talk to her.
Hell yeah.
Okay, what's going on? Now, here's the lady gang.
Okay, our guest today is an internationally recognized body positivity activist. She shared her work in venues and campuses throughout the country. In the last 4 years, she self-published zines and poetry titled The Luna Poems, Woes, and Sentimental Boss Bitch. She has a brand new book, Corazon, full of beautiful poetry, and we're going to get more into that. She is the 2017 National Poetry Slam finalist, and her work has been featured in Latina Magazine, Univision, Vibe Magazine, Huffington Post, BuzzFeed, TEDx, and many other digital platforms. Actually, that's more than Lady Gang, if you're counting. More importantly, when I watched her TED Talk, I fell in love with these catfishing stories, and I had to meet the woman who had successfully catfished men. Please welcome to the Lady Gang, Yessica Salgado. How was my
It was really good. Salgado.
Yeah, right. It's not going to come out of me that way.
For your first like real try, it was really good.
You have a beautiful accent.
Thank you.
And what's your background heritage?
So my parents are from El Salvador, which is Central America. But I was born and raised in L.A., so I have a lot of a mixture of a Salvadoran and Mexican accent because it's kind of what you get in L.A.
Yeah.
Okay. It's great.
Now, this is very interesting. Your whole world. So how did you get started in this? Because your whole vibe and world and what you've created, you're very self-creative. You're like a mini Jack Vanek. You've like really like just done your own thing. So how did this all begin?
I've been writing poetry my whole life since I was a child. My dad was really big into books. He wouldn't let us watch much TV. So the television would get turned off. And he wouldn't monitor what we read. So I was reading Maya Angelou when I was like 10 years old. So it was like very like heavy work. Mm-hmm. But that's always what I gravitated to. And I always knew I was going to be a writer when I was a child. I didn't know how or what that was going to look like. But I pretty much didn't leave myself any options to do anything else.
Wow.
And that's all I've ever done, just written poems about boys.
Love it.
I read about that. I love this part of your speaking, and you said that you were a woman who pretended to be other women on the internet to feel loved.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Yeah, I mean, we all do really, really crazy things for love, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. For the sake of being loved. And for me, I thought that because of who I was, like a fat woman, a fat woman of you know, that didn't see many fat women of color on TV, you know? And so I thought that I wasn't deserving of being seen and being loved. So I started first catfishing on party lines before the internet.
Whoa.
So it was where you would call in and pretend, you know, like back, I'm 33 years old.
Right.
So this is like before the internet was in everybody's home.
Right.
So I started doing that and I didn't know what I was doing. I just knew that I wasn't telling people what I looked like.
Right. What do you mean? So you were the person they called?
Yeah, I would call and I would talk, and I've always had like a good speaking voice.
Yeah.
So I would just pretend to be whoever I imagined to be in my head.
Would the party lines like match you up with just like one person, or is it when you had like a couple people on the line?
It depended. There were the chat rooms where you could go and it was a bunch of people in the room.
Yeah.
Or you could go to the one-on-ones and like randomly match with like boys and talk to them. So I was really good at telling boys what they wanted to hear. And then I found the internet.
Aren't we all, sister? Yeah. Aren't we all?
I mean, you don't have to say much. But and then I found the internet. And on the internet, I started catfishing, which is when you use somebody else's pictures and you take on a whole other life. And I don't do anything halfway. So I really went for it. Like I had a husband, or I was divorced or something, and I had kids. I dropped out of high school, so I used to tell people I had a degree. Like I just made up this whole life that I thought I was supposed to be having.
Yeah.
And through that, I actually like would really develop relationships with people and that were long distance. And it was exhausting because it was all based on lies. And so my TED Talk is about like the last relationship I was in, when I finally confessed to the guy, like, hey, I'm not who you think I am. And he asked me the question, why didn't you let me choose?
Yeah.
And then I realized that I wasn't even giving myself that option. I wasn't even letting myself choose myself.
Whoa.
And then I went to therapy.
How long was that relationship?
It was months. It was, but we're still friends.
Oh,
we're
that's
still
good.
Friends. Yeah, we're still good friends on all the social media and everything. We made it through the awkwardness. There's some guys that have catfished that won't have anything to do with me.
Yeah.
Understandably. But for the most part, the people that knew me then and know me now, like, are really proud of, like, all the work I've done and have seen how far I've come as a person. And so, yeah, so it's been interesting.
Had you admitted who you really were to every single person that you were catfishing?
Yes, it took me a long time, but eventually, like, I started telling, like, hey, guess what? So, I'm this person. Before, I used to be really frumpy. Like, I wouldn't wear makeup. My hair was always pulled back. I would wear really big, baggy things. And so, I think the more, like, feminine I became, the more comfortable and unapologetic I've become. So, I'm like, look, either you get with the program or you get left behind.
Yeah.
And most of the men that I was involved with, we've remained friends, but I've noticed how the friendship changes when they found me desirable as opposed to who I am now.
Well, you're still desirable,
yeah,
though.
But that's to, like, them, to them,
right?
You know?
So, where do you get the pictures?
Yeah, who are you using? Was it the same girl for the whole thing?
Are you everybody?
It was the same girl for the whole thing, and it was someone I went to high school with.
Oh, so
and
you knew her?
Yeah, I knew her. It was someone.
Did
I
you have all the photos?
Did you get permission, or did she just know?
No, I didn't have permission when it was happening. But when I was doing the whole, I was doing like almost like the 12-step thing, you know, like the I'm gonna clean my slate with everybody.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I sat her down and I was like, "Look, I've been using your pictures for X amount of years."
And she never knew before?
No. But she's really, like, she's totally down for me. And she's like, you know, have you been using it now? And I go, no. She's like, well, you're fine. Like, we're good.
So do you have to, like, save some photos so that you can, like, constantly
have
you gotta, like,
I felt
like, oh, went to Disney this weekend or whatever, right?
Yeah, I felt like I had all these pictures of my friend on my phone, and like none of, when I told this guy, his name is Dominic, when I told Dominic the truth, He asked for a picture of myself.
Yeah.
And I freaked out. And I was going through my phone, and there were no pictures of me on my phone. It was all either pictures of my friend, who I was using her pictures as, or pictures of people, like my friends, that I would take pictures of them, or the kids in my family, and nothing of me. And so my phone, you would have never been able to tell whose phone it was.
Wow.
By picking up my phone. You would have thought it belonged to this girl. You know, this.
What happens if it gets like sexual? And like,
oh, it used to get sexual.
So what did you do?
Wait, did you talk to these people on the phone too?
Yes. Okay. But then it was when I would have to make up all the excuses of like,
he'd be like, why send you a FaceTime? Picture, mm-hmm. And you'd be like,
I don't know how people do that now. Now it's impossible.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially with like FaceTime.
Because they could just FaceTime you in a second.
Because when I was doing it, not all the phones had a forward facing camera.
Right.
So I would say, oh, I have an old phone. I haven't upgraded my phone.
Right.
So that lasted for only
a minute.
Yeah, for that long. Or I would say, oh, the camera's broken on my phone, which is believable when your phone only has one camera.
Right.
Or, like, my laptop doesn't have a webcam because wow. Back then they didn't. You
yeah.
had to buy it separately.
Yeah.
And now I don't know how that would even be possible. And then, like, I would always have to be careful where my phone number wouldn't link with other things.
Oh, like Facebook.
Then, yeah, because then they could find you on... It was like having to live this hyper... aware life of mm-hmm. like not leaving any trace.
Well, and like with the Google image search, so you can like reverse search.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then it will pull up things like, on Facebook and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that was before my time. Now yeah. that would terrify me.
So, okay, you spend so much time doing that. Like, I guess now you, mm-hmm. since then, you've spent that time learning to love yourself. Right. I hope.
Yes.
Wow. What happens when you learn to love yourself? That was one of the things you posted on your site.
Yeah, that was the whole, what my whole TED Talk is based on, like what happens after you love yourself. And it's because I feel that a lot of us feel that self-love is this trick and then that's it.
Yeah.
And then we're in this pink world where nothing ever goes wrong and you never have your bad days. And so the talk is based off of a poem called On the Bad Days. And it was just a day that I didn't feel attractive and my girls were going to go out and I didn't want to go out. And I stayed home crying and feeling like I was a fraud. Like, I talk so much about body positivity and I do all these things and I have this huge platform, but I can't even get out of bed today.
Right.
And so I had to take a step back and be like, I'm allowed to have these moments. We all are, you know? We could be on a period and bloated, or we could have broken out for whatever reason or whatever. And it could just be that one day or it could just... be that, like, the world gets to you. We get fed so many things through media and not seeing ourselves represented all the time, you know, and not seeing our stories play out. It just gets in your head after a while. So my trick for those days is take a picture on the good days so that you can find it on the bad days.
Mm.
So on the days that I feel beautiful and, like, if I got my face done for a photo shoot or something, I take all the selfies or whatever and I'll have them stored in my phone so that I could use those when I want to feel beautiful instead of somebody else's pictures. Mm-hmm. And it's still me, you know? And I could be like, I could look like that if I want to. I'm just taking an off day. Yeah.
I like that, too.
I love that.
I love that so much. Why does it matter to us so much what strangers think about us?
I think as women, we're told that it matters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're not desirable, you're not going to get married. Mm-hmm. And then you're not going to be anybody. You know, like most of our moms grew up in the time before this empowered millennial woman, you know. And
yeah.
And so we had to be tied to a man, even if we were successful. You have to be a mom and successful.
Yeah.
And I think we're told that if we're not desired, if we are not found a certain thing by the world, we're not... doing what we're supposed to be doing as women. And I think that when you have that in your head, it can be like this hunger that consumes you, you know,
mm-hmm.
like seeking validation constantly and like knocking on all the doors. Like, do you like me?
Because yeah.
even after I stopped catfishing, I went through like a phase, like a boy crazy phase where I was on Tinder meeting all the boys.
Yeah.
Like, all of them. Because, but it was still that same hunger. Like,
right.
I had to calm down because I was like, it's still that same hunger for like, do you want me? Do you want
for
me?
For validation, yeah. yeah.
There's that whole thing of like, you got to love yourself. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. But like, I am constantly consumed by everyone else's opinion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. Is there anyone out there that has successfully blocked the world out?
I doubt it. No, well, and that's I like that what you're saying because you're very honest and like real about it where it's like, yeah, you're going to, you know, care what people think. And yeah, you're going to have bad days. But it's like you just have to push mm-hmm. through it, because that's just being human.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you go through phases too. I think the more confident you feel, the less you give a shit about what other people think. But mm-hmm. then if you're feeling insecure or vulnerable, you know, you're kind of a sponge to everybody else's yeah. opinions mm-hmm. and energy. And it's really hard, like, maintaining the strength within yourself. And it is amazing that you did an entire TED talk about it being okay to lose that for a little while, for a day yeah. or whatever.
Yeah.
It, 'cause it's going to happen, especially nowadays where everything is images mm-hmm. all the time.
Yeah.
And everything is like, if you don't post a selfie, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Or, mm-hmm. or whatever. And like, you feel like you can't turn off the machine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my thing is, I'm really big on being like, it's okay. If you feel you can't love yourself right now, that's fine. It's going to come. Like, I have a saying. This is like, be patient with yourself as you are with others.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're always so quick to tell our girlfriends, like, no, you're so beautiful and mm-hmm. it's okay. Like, you know, all these affirmations and things like that. But we don't do them to ourselves.
Yeah.
So I always try to tell myself, like, I'm having a really, like, crappy day. Like, what would I tell my best friend if she came to me mm-hmm. with, like, you know, I have curly hair, so my hair won't curl right. Like, I have, like, a whole meltdown.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go anywhere. And then I take a step. I'm like, but my earrings are really cute. My nails look great. And
yeah.
And so it's tricks. It's kind of like you have to trick yourself into having a good day, and then you're having a good day.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I just had a like realization that there are all these people on social media who are now like really awesome and promoting the self-love and talking about how like good they feel in their skin and all this positive. And that's amazing. But it also sets in like – It's unrealistic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then you beat yourself up because you're like, why can't I love myself like that person yeah. does? And so it's this really crazy thing where we're just not being real in general, like positive or negative.
Yeah. No, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's like what I was saying earlier, because it's like that is, I feel like people resonate with your message so much more
so
than
much more.
Any, where it's like, you know, somebody else being like, yeah, just love your body like I do all the time, even though I have all these flaws. It's like, no, you don't, because nobody does, because we all have mm-hmm. bad days like that. And I think that.
It's awesome.
Is awesome because that's yeah. the truth.
Like, I'm a plus size girl. I go to stores sometimes and I don't find things I want. And I know that when I'm going to go to the mall, I'm probably going to have like a meltdown moment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to like be like, all right, I'm going to be prepared. When I go to the mall, I know that at some point I'm going to like freak out. So then I'm going to go to Sephora afterwards. Where like there's no sizes in Sephora, you know? And I could buy
get yourself a pair of shoes.
Yeah, or get some shoes or whatever. Yeah. And like, it's just kind of like learning like what triggers you and yeah. just kind of sometimes being a step ahead of yourself.
Yeah.
Talk to us about the book.
Oh, the book.
Which, by the way, this is one of the most beautiful books I have ever seen.
I'm obsessed. It really is gorgeous. I can't even imagine how many people people need to buy this as gifts too.
Also, just buy it to Instagram it just for the cover. The cover is amazing.
So the artist Cassidy Tier, I told her what I wanted for the cover and she didn't listen to anything I said. Which I'm so grateful that that's what happened, because this beautiful piece of art happened,
yeah.
which is
it's so pretty.
A mango with leaves, and one of the leaves happens to be a heart. And so then,
I didn't even see that part.
Yeah. The title Corazón in Spanish means heart or darling.
Mm.
And my father passed away 8 years ago, but when he was alive, how I knew when he was in a good mood was he would say like, "Come here, Corazón, come here, darling." Mm. And so that's how I knew that I was going to name my first book that. And it's a love story, loosely based on a situationship. Which
situationship?
Oh, new word.
Whoa, that's
situationship.
I was listening to your last week podcast, and y'all were talking about the breadcrumbs.
Breadcrumbing.
Breadcrumbing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This is the story of breadcrumbing.
Oh.
Yes.
That should be like your little like aside. Like,
yes,
story of breadcrumbing.
Like, that'll be the next theme for the next project that I do. But
you can use breadcrumbing.
Yeah.
We'll give it to you.
Free of charge.
But we're taking situationship.
And the book is it's a love story. That's how I introduce it to folks. And it's about the hunger for love, getting love, and then having it fall apart and then returning to yourself.
Oh.
And like, that's kind of what the whole story is. And it was really, I put the book together. The poems existed, but I put it together in 2 weeks.
Wow. Oh my God.
Which was Very intense 2 weeks.
I'm sure. Oof. We sort of picked one that we wanted you to read. So tell us about this one and then give us a reading. This is we're getting very deep. I love it.
This one is in a chapter called The Ache. And the chapters are the hunger, the fruit, the bruising, the ache, and the return. Oof. And ache is kind of like the I'm done chapter, like, but it hurts, you know? And so this poem I wrote, I'll read it and then we'll talk about it. It's called Last Straw. I can wait for you to finish school, take care of your health, focus on your promotion, work on your sobriety, heal. I can't wait for you to decide I am worth loving. Yeah.
Right.
And isn't that the story? Like, always.
Always.
With this, it's someone that I've been involved with forever, like 4.5 years, and the whole, like, we're kind of together, we're kind of not, we're kind of together, we're not. And then at one of our breakups, he got his life together. Like, he went back to school and he got sober and he became a vegetarian and everything. And then we started talking again, and I was trying to be patient with him because he was working with him as a working on himself as a person. But I'm like, I can wait for you to become a better person, but I can't wait for you to decide that I'm worth being in your life.
Oh my God.
And
that is brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
This whole thing is just gems.
It's just like, I'm like emotional. I'm literally
I'm gonna go home tonight and read this whole thing and probably bawl my eyes out.
I know. So,
that's my plans.
I know people tell me, like, I got your book, I can't wait to cry. I'm like, I don't know if that's okay.
No, it's good. It's like you're like Adele of poetry. Like, you listen to her music and you just, like, feel a lot of things that are buried, bubbly, very, very, very deep.
Yeah. And very deep in that bodysuit.
It's very deep in my bodysuit, and it just brings it to the surface.
Yes. Yeah. And it's good. A good release.
Yes. This would be my 21, right? That was her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My 21.
Wait, is this the one about this the breakout? Is your first book?
This is my first book.
This would be your 19.
My 19,
but
yes.
21 was the breakout.
Yes.
The best album.
Right.
That means the best is yet to come.
I hope there's not more heartbreak, though.
I mean, you know, I think I've had enough. I'm 33 years old. I think there's enough that's happened to keep.
A couple more volumes.
Yeah, to keep going back. I write a lot about lost love or frustrated love and all those things. But, you know, like, I'm a sucker for love, though. Like, I'm always falling in love all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
yeah. That's what happens.
That's all of us.
Since you have it sort of figured out, we're going to have you stick around. And when we come back, Jessica's going to answer some of your Ask the Lady Gang questions.
Hey, ladies!
Funky. Ask the Lady Gang.
And we're back.
Hope you enjoyed the break.
Yeah, it was a great break. Before we start, Ask Lady Gang, if you guys want 20% off of jackvanek.com, use code Lady Gang. And so you've listened to our podcast, so you know the deal.
I know the deal. I like
this.
We're
ready for some good advice from you. All right, our first question comes from Anonymous. Everybody is really
scared now.
Scared.
People are not leaving their names anymore.
We don't have any.
When we first started, it was like Beverly Mitchell, 4142. Now it's Anonymous.
We're like Brian's Roses now.
Yeah, we are. We're going to screw up your life if you leave a name. So, okay. First question is, and Kelty edited this, so I'm not sure if
good
this
luck.
Is the entire thing. She says, one of my close girlfriends has been in an on and off fling with a guy she met at work about a year and a half ago. She's canceled plans with her close group of girlfriends to go out with her now boyfriend. I want to support her new relationship, but it's difficult to do when I've seen how he's hurt her in the past. How can I talk to my friend about this without damaging our friendship?
Okay, I just remember the backstory on this. They've been on and off for like a long time.
And probably like broke up. And
right, and he's been horrible to her. And they keep getting back together. And then she ditches to go hang out with him. And she's like, I want to be supportive of you. I love you. But like...
But he's a dick.
He's a dick. And she doesn't want to hurt her friendship because she knows how much she, you know.
Got it. That makes more sense.
Jessica, do you want to take this?
What would you do?
It's always tricky when you tell your friend you don't like their boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Always.
Then when they get back together, there's tension.
Especially, because they've been together on and off for so long. That's going to happen again, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's so frustrating. Like, I've been the person that on and off, and I've had the friends that are the on and off. And I think, like, what I would do, which could be, like, the worst advice ever. But
that's what we like to get.
Yeah, that's what we get.
I would tell them once and for all, like, look, this is how I feel about the relationship, X, Y, Z, da-da-da, whatever, and then just leave it alone. Yeah. Just leave it alone. Because if you keep... you also have to give people space to to be what they're going to be. I had a high school teacher when I went through my first heartbreak, and she told me, the heart will have enough once it's had enough. Until then, you can't say or do anything that'll make a change.
And it's so hard. I was in a situation this summer with a friend of mine, and I'm like making the list of like douchebaggery from dude over here on the right, and it is long. And you're like, and then, you know, she was like, listen, it doesn't help me when you say horrible things about him. I'm like, well, someone needs to. You need to get it through your skull. But, like, you really just can't. People have to figure it out in their own way.
Yeah. Nothing that anybody is going to say is going to change your mind if you're, like, in love with somebody, even if they're a total asshole. But
like, the part that we have to be careful of is, like, where the love ends and where it becomes, like, emotionally abusive.
Right.
And if it's emotionally abusive, then women, you'll be like, look. This is happening and it's not okay.
Right.
If they still choose to stay in it afterwards, there's not much you can do.
Yeah, it's like at least you say your piece in that sense where it's like at least you didn't not say anything and allowed it to happen and then take kind of a responsibility of your friend's like sadness of that. But yeah, I guess I do the same thing.
Yeah.
I have a friend right now who has a boyfriend I don't like, and I told her that. And so now it's just like,
that awkward. Like, ooh, like, that was like, awkward. And I don't like you. Bye. And
I'm like, oh. Okay. Our second question comes from a different anonymous. And they say, I've worked for this specific company for several years. I've worked there throughout college and even won our market and award while I was in college. This is still not enough for them to hire me on full time when I graduated college with 2 degrees and a certification. Then they hired a new person who is still in college about 4 months ago. A full-time position opened up. We both tried out for it, but she received the full-time position. What am I doing wrong? How can I be successful? My family and friends say it's because I am meant for greater things, and I want to believe it, but the constant rejection and humiliation is ruining my self-esteem and motivation.
Okay. Well, I think it's time for you to have a conversation with your boss. And just ask for feedback. And you don't have to be emotional and you don't have to be angry. And you can just say, like, what's going on? This is what I've done for you guys. And I feel like I've been very successful. And you can say, can you please answer me honestly? Do you see me getting a full-time position? And if not, can you write me a beautiful letter of recommendation so that I can go on my way? And what was the thing about something rejection is
I thought it was yours, man's rejection is God's protection.
I really am a firm believer in that, so it's like
you made
don't
it up. Know what it is.
I don't think I did. I really don't. I mean, maybe I did. I'm pretty brilliant. But I do feel like don't delay the inevitable, because the conversation needs to happen, because maybe you are meant for something greater, and I'm sure you're amazing and you clearly have a lot of experience, but don't let this get to your self-esteem and motivation. I can't tell you how many years it has taken, like me in particular, to realize that all the rejection that I've dealt with had absolutely nothing to do with me or my abilities.
Well, and it's, especially when you're in like a job like that, where there's like, everybody has different skill levels and maybe you study different things in college and stuff, like she might be better for that position, even if she doesn't have as much experience as you. And maybe this is a good kick in the ass to try to find a new job that's better for you.
Do you remember that carnival game where you would shoot the water guns at the little horses?
Yeah, and I put like, that on the worst date of my life.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Okay. Well, you should have like actually
ran
that.
Loved it.
Fun.
You love games.
I loved it, but I beat the guy and then he was pissed at me.
He was sad. Okay, so you know how like for a minute you're shooting perfectly on the target and like your horse goes ahead and then someone comes out and like, I think that I always think about that metaphor when people like, I'm like, it's so unfair. I work harder. I do this. How is this person ahead of me? But like, it all evens out in the end. Like, everyone gets where they need to go if you just keep your blinders on and just focus on you and do the best work. And I agree with Becca. Get the feedback. But like, don't watch what anyone else is doing, because maybe there's even a better position that's going to open up across town with like more days off or whatever, like that you don't even know about it.
Or so, a better job that like appreciates your work.
Well, there's a saying that says comparison is a thief of joy.
Yeah.
And you know, like, what I do, I'm a poet, and sometimes I've had friends, I've been doing this for 10 years, like going on open mics and publicly doing my poetry. And I saw all my friends getting things before I did. And I didn't understand what was happening. I'm like, I'm good. Like, what's going on? And not until the last 2 years where I wasn't aware of it, but I wasn't ready to receive what was going to happen for me. And had I gotten the quote-unquote promotion, which would have been for me, like the gigs or whatever, if I had gotten my publishing deal earlier on, my book would not exist in the way that it does.
Right.
So maybe like you haven't shown you're assertive enough, or you haven't shown that you're like ready in a way that you need to be ready. And
right.
Yeah.
And if they don't love you, then F them.
Yeah.
Oh.
So all right. Our last question comes from Lauren. Lauren says, how do you deal with anxiety? Ever since I started university 4 years ago, I had to deal with anxiety, which is only getting worse. Mm. I'm at a point where it's keeping me from sleeping. I have constant headaches and I always feel like crying and I'm just overall exhausted. I'm having trouble talking about it with people as it's something in my head and not something visible. So my question is, how do you not let anxiety control your life and how do you overpower it?
I talk about anxiety a lot because I deal with chronic anxiety. Journaling is really important. Writing is really important. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the thoughts are so jumbled in our head that they snowball. So if you were to take your time whenever you feel overwhelmed to sit down and write, even if you say, I don't know what I'm doing, just writing it over and over, it gives you a place to put it down outside of yourself. And that helps a lot. Other than like therapy and counseling, mm-hmm. and stuff yeah. like that. Because I think it's important to learn. Everybody has different coping mechanisms.
Yeah.
But writing is really important.
Yeah. I'm like that too. Like I write a lot, like just for myself. Mm-hmm. But it definitely is like so therapeutic to me. And I'll do like train of thought, just like word vomit. And mm-hmm. then kind of I'll feel like a thought coming through. And then I'll like meticulously craft it into something that I would be like, I feel like this is like poetry to myself.
Yeah.
But then it sense like it gets all of my thoughts out and then I can kind of craft it into a way where I'm like, this is exactly how I'm feeling. It's like perfectly put together. And then I feel like I can like move past it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I suffer from like crazy, crazy anxiety as well. Yoga's helped me. Talking about it helps me. I know it doesn't help with a lot of people, but I need to like talk through my feelings and my thoughts or else I'll explode.
Yeah. I think number one, you started university 4 years ago. That's a really, really hard time. Mm-hmm. Like I would say that is one of the hardest times in a woman's life. I mean, maybe men, but like who cares about them? but that's a really tricky time. And so don't be hard on yourself. And so many people deal with anxiety. I think the worst thing you can do is like shove it all down and not deal with it because it only gets worse. I think talking to somebody, a professional, is vital at this point. And just self-care is so important because, you know, just if you start early, you'll be good to go.
I think also if you find friends that also have anxiety, because like, yeah. some people don't have anxiety and like my mom doesn't really, so she doesn't really understand when I'm like having a panic attack.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but then I have like two best friends of mine that like have crazy anxiety as well. So I always talk to them because they understand exactly what I'm going through. And it's like you have somebody that like empathizes with you in that sense. So you don't feel so alone, I guess.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I don't have anxiety, but sometimes I get really depressed. And when I do, I just make lists. That's my like secret. It's like I wake up in the middle of the night when I can't sleep and I just make lists. And then it makes me feel better. And I actually did realize this week that making a list in pencil is what I prefer, like more than pens or iPhone lists.
Why?
Like, there's something about a pencil and then being able to cross it off with like the etch of the pencil on the paper. It's like, so
Becca, dude, shut up.
Well, you know, Jack makes some pretty bomb pencils.
Yes, she does.
Oh, I do. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Okay, well, I hope we fixed your life. Where can we get the book?
At notacult.media/corazon.
Okay.
Or you could go to my website,
right.
jessicasalgado.com, and that leads you to everything that's me.
That would post that. And then also your Instagram.
Okay, yeah, that's Jessica Starr, YESIKASTARR, on Instagram. And that used to be my catfish name. Jessica Starr.
Wait, they didn't know and your name was Jessica Starr?
No, I kept... they were, yeah, it was a lot. But I kept it as a way of not running away from my story.
I love that.
And making it a part of who I am now.
I love that. Wow. Congratulations mm-hmm. on the book. It is so beautiful.
Thank you so much.
We're going to give away a copy on the Lady Gang Instagram, so stay tuned. And everyone go purchase this because it's beautiful. A beautiful gift, too.
Thank you so much.
All right. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at the Lady Gang, at Jack Vanek, at Becca, at Kelty. Night. and head on over to iTunes. Share this podcast with all your friends. Hit subscribe. We love all the subscribers. And that's it for now. Sorry if we made you sad, but I really loved having you on. And I think
thank
it was
you for
good.
Having
it
me.
Was good talks. All right.
Yes.
See you next Tuesday. Yay! Yay!
Join the Lady Gang every Tuesday at iTunes and at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com. Thanks for listening.